Imagine arriving early to prepare for an important client meeting, only to have your cultural expert sit silently for 3 hours despite being articulate in preparation meetings. This happened to Erin Meyer, who later discovered her Chinese colleague was simply waiting to be called upon, a cultural expectation she had completely missed. This scenario perfectly illustrates how invisible cultural forces shape our workplace interactions every day. In a world where 70% of international ventures fail due to cultural misunderstandings, understanding these hidden dimensions becomes critical. Companies like Microsoft, Netflix, and Salesforce now require Meyer's framework for navigating global expansion. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings even credits it for helping successfully expand into 190 countries. The culture map provides a practical framework for decoding these invisible boundaries that divide our increasingly connected world, offering 8 scales that reveal how cultures differ in communication, leadership, trust building, and more. Have you ever been frustrated by seemingly secretive colleagues or felt insulted when someone explains the obvious? These reactions stem from differences in communication styles. In France, good communicators use sous-entendu, saying one thing explicitly while conveying a different meaning that only those with shared context understand. This high-context communication permeates French culture. The United States ranks as the world's lowest context culture, with all Anglo-Saxon cultures clustering on the explicit end. Asian countries, Japan being the extreme, represent the highest context cultures. This positioning reflects each country's history. High context cultures typically have long shared histories and homogeneous populations, while low context cultures formed from diverse immigrant populations with little shared context. What defines a good communicator varies across cultures. In low-context cultures, like the Netherlands, directness signals trustworthiness, while high-context communicators may find this approach patronizing. The greatest communication breakdowns occur not between low- and high-context cultures, but between two different high-context cultures interpreting implicit cues differently. The solution? Multicultural teams need low-context processes with explicitly stated expectations. Your presentation was quite interesting. Depending on your cultural background, this could be high praise or harsh criticism. The evaluating scale shows how cultures deliver negative feedback, from bluntly direct to subtly indirect. Direct cultures use upgraders like absolutely to strengthen criticism, while indirect cultures prefer downgraders such as kind of to soften feedback. The British favor understatement, while Germans provide straightforward feedback, viewing it as respectful honesty. Americans fall in the middle with their feedback sandwich, criticism between layers of praise, which often confuses internationals who either miss the criticism or view the praise as insincere. When direct culture individuals work with Americans, beginning with genuine positive observations helps frame criticism. In high-context, indirect cultures like Japan or Mexico, criticism is delivered so subtly it's easily missed. When working with these cultures, avoid public individual feedback, deliver messages gradually, and use social settings for difficult conversations. What a Dutch person considers honest feedback might seem offensive to someone with different cultural feedback norms. Have you ever delivered a brilliant presentation that fell flat with an international audience? The ability to persuade is deeply rooted in cultural, philosophical traditions that vary across societies. Principle's first reasoning, deductive, begins with general theories to reach specific conclusions, while application's first reasoning, inductive, builds conclusions from factual observations. Though most people can practice both, cultural education systems heavily influence which approach feels natural. Anglo-Saxon cultures tend toward application's first reasoning, while Latin and Germanic cultures favor principle's first approaches. Beyond this Western dichotomy lies Asian holistic thinking. Chinese executives often address questions by discussing seemingly peripheral information before reaching their point. Research shows Americans focus on foreground objects, while Japanese participants notice background elements and relationships. Asians typically view elements as interconnected within a broader context. For effective cross-cultural persuasion, adapt your approach to match your audience's thinking style. With mixed cultural groups, cycle between principles and examples. For multicultural teams struggling with different reasoning approaches, build awareness of these differences and cultivate flexibility. What makes an ideal leader? In egalitarian Denmark, bosses gain authority by acting as team members, while in hierarchical China, leaders must clearly distinguish themselves. These differences affect everyday behaviors. When an Australian executive cycled to work in Beijing, his Chinese team felt humiliated because biking signaled low status in their culture. Historical factors shape these patterns. Southern European countries, influenced by the hierarchical Roman Empire, favor greater power distance, while Northern European countries, shaped by democratic Vikings, remain egalitarian. Protestant countries typically show more egalitarian tendencies than Catholic ones, as Protestantism eliminated church hierarchy. Confucian hierarchy isn't just about subordinates' duty to obey, but also leaders' obligation to protect. Western managers and hierarchical cultures succeed by embracing this paternalistic role, mentoring, and looking after subordinates' interests. In hierarchical cultures, the boss is always right, frustrating Western managers when staff remain silent instead of offering opinions. For managers with overly deferential teams, meet with groups separately, provide clear instructions about expected input, and explicitly invite individuals to speak rather than expecting voluntary participation. Trust is essential for business success worldwide, but develops differently across cultures. Two fundamental types exist: cognitive trust, based on confidence in someone's accomplishments from the head, and affective trust, arising from emotional closeness from the heart. Americans typically separate these forms of trust, considering their mixture unprofessional. Chinese managers, however, interweave them, developing personal bonds alongside business relationships. In American culture, business is business, while in countries like China and Brazil, business is personal. Americans' friendliness often misleads foreigners. In peach cultures like the U.S., people are initially open but have a hard-to-access inner core. They smile at strangers and share personal information readily, but this doesn't constitute friendship. By contrast, coconut cultures like Russia and Germany present a hard exterior initially, but gradually warm up as relationships develop. Investing time in relationship building pays dividends internationally. Finding common interests creates powerful connections, as demonstrated by an executive who succeeded in Russia by discussing grandchildren and shared interests, securing in 24 hours what his task-oriented colleague couldn't achieve in 6 months. In many cultures, especially those with less reliable legal systems, the relationship is the contract, with personal trust replacing formal agreements. What's normal in one culture can shock another. Recognizing these differences enables meaningful cross-cultural dialogue. Address challenges in global teams by creating culture maps that visualize fault lines, invisible psychological boundaries that create us versus them mentalities. Combat cultural homogeneity by mixing team members from different backgrounds, rotating members across locations, hiring bicultural individuals who can decode cross-cultural behaviors, and leveraging diversity by assigning tasks based on cultural strengths. Though challenging, this expanded perspective offers rich opportunities for learning. Understanding cultural differences enhances our effectiveness in an interconnected world. When managed properly, cultural diversity becomes a team's greatest asset rather than a source of conflict. The future belongs to those who navigate these invisible boundaries with grace, turning potential misunderstandings into collaborative bridges.